Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. It's Saturday, February 10th, 2007, about 1 minute past 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome all of you joining us, wherever you may be listening around the planet. Maybe on shortwave, frequency 3.215, maybe on the internet at republicbroadcasting.org, or perhaps franklyspeakingradio.com. Our phone number, as you should know at this point, is 1-800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. So, we've talked about it for quite a while now, and I think it bears some further exploration. The world, as I see it, and it's just my own particular two eyes looking at it, and all the, I guess, the factors, the experiences I've had throughout my life that have shaped the way I view things. All my opinion, but I would say this. I have never seen so many very significant, newsworthy, and vital components to sort of the stability of this fragile existence we have being tampered with all at the same time. And we've known this for a while. We've talked about it. The powers that be, the New World Order, they have a very, very specific way that they operate. They have a very specific way that they want to shape things. However, what a lot of people don't realize is just how many stinking irons they have in the fire. It's all over the place. It's widespread. And the same way they're trying to, of course, fabricate this one-world government, one-world currency, and one-world government, or what it does, yeah, one world government, one world currency, one world religion, they have to work, obviously, on all places. You can't just go and say, well, we'll start one country and keep going. They're mixing it up with all of them. And one of the things that we've had to try to keep an eye on here is this European Union situation. As we mentioned, there's a big push for the adaptation of a European Union constitution. Now, all of us here in America, we're horrified by this idea. People in Europe maybe don't see it as such, meaning a collective group, right? But at the same time, I think they do not like the idea. I think they are horrified by the concept of this exact thing. Here you've got a body of lawmakers, not all of whom represent you. Now, that's kind of what we have here in this country, but on a much broader scale, it's even more frightening. Right, you get a bunch of countries together, and you've got your representative, and let's say your representative is voted down, then it's like your whole country is basically screwed, right? That's how you might see it anyway. So the adaptation of a European Union constitution has been put forth to a vote, a referendum by the public many times, and the public always votes against it. The beauty of it is, the system they've got over there is that they can do it anyway. It's a horrible thing. And we've talked about this, the European Union flag that has been designed and endorsed, but not necessarily enacted as of yet, is a series of colors running top to bottom of the various countries. So let's say it's France, so you got blue, white, and red, and those are in little bars running parallel, right? Well, when you put all the countries together and you've got all the colors represented, if you were to take that image and transpose it into a black and white image, guess what you got? A giant barcode. It's a horrible thing. I mean, you know, talk about the writing on the wall, right? It's just a bad, bad idea. Anyway, there's a big push happening as we speak to make this constitution happen, European Union constitution, and it is going to happen if they have their way with it. And we're going to talk about that because this leads to a series of other things. Once you get a constitution and you get an established set of rules and regulations of sorts, then you can start tampering with all the minutiae and you can start infringing on a variety of things, including perhaps free speech. Please stay with us, folks. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Here we go with some news. Things maybe you've heard, maybe you've not. I found this at www.bbj.hu. No idea where that comes from. Some foreign land, I'm sure. But it says a group, January 29th, by the way. A group of European Union governments led by Germany and Spain may press ahead with the deeper political integration set out in the bloc's constitution without France or the UK, said Spanish EU Affairs Minister Alberto Navarro. He said to journalists in Madrid on Friday after a meeting of 20 EU governments that support the constitution, that's 20 of them that are on board with this. He said, quote, "We can't all advance at the pace of the slowest. To progress in Europe, we often have to do it with a group of countries that are prepared to move forward. We have the example of the euro. We must be prepared to take that step," end quote. European leaders must decide how to proceed with the constitutional project when the period of reflection ends in June under Germany's presidency. So Angela Merkel has made this sort of her baby, I guess, as far as issues go, something she's absolutely set on. I think it is interesting. There was an article written by Saoirse Fall at a fantastic website, by the way. It's whatdoesitmean.com. You can read about it for yourself. And she basically makes the I don't know, the suggestion. Supposedly it's based on an information from, again, foreign intelligence, you know, Russian intelligence. I don't know if it's true or not, that Angela Merkel is actually genetically the offspring of Adolf Hitler in some capacity. I don't know if that's true. I don't know anything about it, but if it is, that is intriguing, because there was some point that was made that this was going to happen on the anniversary, I guess, of Adolf Hitler's sort of rise to power. Now, I don't know if that's true or not also, but it is interesting, and now we've got a German pope as well, which was brought up in that article in addition to all that. So however you feel about the Vatican, you can toss that into the mix too. I don't know. But the story goes on. Germany has long been a proponent of the Constitution to overcome shortcomings in the existing Nice Treaty. The process of ratifying the Constitution was halted in 2005 when voters in France and the Netherlands rejected the text in successive referendums. Supporters of the treaty will try to win approval for the text by adding further clauses to the document, said Navarro. Quote, Europe doesn't need a minimalist solution. Europe needs a maximalist solution that allows us to resolve the problems of our times. We want to send a message of support to the German presidency, end quote. French presidential candidate Nicolas Sarkozy is calling for a mini-treaty which would strengthen the EU's decision-making efficiency while dropping provisions such as the extension of the bloc's powers in foreign and internal affairs that has rankled the French electorate. So there you go. I can't imagine anybody would be on board with this sort of collectivism and maximalist solutions. I don't know. To me, government is best when it's small. But anyway, we start getting into other things, of course, too, because this ties in with free speech. Now, we've talked about this. Certainly, you probably have all heard the fantastic information from Reverend Ted Pike about hate crimes and what would designate a hate crime here in America. In some places, it's illegal to express dissent on certain issues such as the Holocaust. Here's a story from the AP, January 26th in Germany. It said prosecutors asked a court Friday to give a man the maximum sentence of 5 years in prison for persistently denying the Holocaust. In his closing argument, prosecutor Andreas Grossmann called Ernst Zundel a political con man from whom the German people must be protected, widely quoting from his writings, which argue that millions of Jews did not die at the hands of the Nazis. Said Grossmann, quote, you might as well argue that the sun rises in the West, but you cannot change the Holocaust has been proven. End quote. Zundel, age 66, is charged with 14 counts of incitement for a series of pamphlets and for disseminating far-right and anti-Semitic propaganda through his website, according to the indictment. Denying the Holocaust is a crime in Germany and is punishable by 3 months to 5 years in prison. Zundel was deported from Canada in 2005 and has also lived in Tennessee. Since his deportation, he and his supporters have argued that Zundel is a peaceful campaigner, denied his right to free speech. Attorney Albert Schaller, one of five lawyers representing Zundel, told the court in his closing argument Friday that all of its evidence that the Holocaust took place was based on witness reports instead of hard facts. Several of Zundel's other attorneys have said they'll be making closing arguments when the trial continues. So, and there's been obviously a pattern of that as well. So let's continue with this story, which comes from the Times, Sunday Times over there in the UK, January 15th. Germany intends to introduce a Europe-wide law banning the display of Nazi symbols and making denial of the Holocaust a crime to fulfill its quote-unquote historical obligation 62 years after the liberation of Auschwitz. Bridget Zypries, the justice minister, will today outline plans to punish with up to 3 years in prison anyone in the European Union who publicly rejects the Nazi slaughter of 6 million Jews. Germany's program for its six-month presidency of the EU, which we just discussed in the course of pushing this EU constitution, also, it says, revives the idea of criminalizing the flaunting of the swastika, which gained momentum after publication of photographs of Prince Harry in a Nazi uniform at a fancy dress party. I don't know. We call those costume parties here in America, but in the UK it's called a fancy dress party. Now, this is interesting on a number of levels because, you know, you would think about that. Why would Prince Harry have dressed up in a Nazi uniform? I mean, why? I have a feeling, of course, it was suggested that he do so. Maybe just to exactly sort of bring this issue to the forefront. It's going to embolden and empower those who would like to use the swastika and the Nazi symbols and the Nazi ideology because they're going to say, look, he's one of us deep down, but he can't really show it. So, you know, it's going to embolden those, you know, freaks. And then, you know, for everybody else who want to clamp down on free speech in any capacity, whether it's for better or for worse, it's going to embolden them as well. This is all about the divisiveness that is pervasive in our society here today. It's all about feeding that whole thing. It's about pointing those fingers. It's about choosing a side. It's about, you know, going against whoever opposes you. It's silly, but again, here's the main thing. I'm a big fan of free speech. I have to be in the business that I'm in, okay? Whether it's my free speech or your free speech or anybody's free speech, even free speech for people who aren't maybe the sharpest knives in the drawer. Perfect example. What if we said it was a crime to deny that the sky is blue? And you got people saying, oh, the sky is purple, obviously. Well, you know, some people would like to pass laws to prevent people from saying that the sky is purple. I would say let them make the statements they want to make and let, you know, the criteria judge them for being, you know, sane or insane on its own. So however you feel about the Holocaust, whether you you think it never happened in any capacity, whether you think that it did happen at its worst possible scenario, or whether you think it was somewhere in the middle, that it did happen but not to the extent that history says it does, you should be allowed to express that opinion. Always, 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 you should be able to have your opinions. They are part of you. Because without the discussion, without the dialogue, without the interaction, without the conversation between people, how does anybody ever learn anything different? But society would have us believe that everything we're told is a fact. And there is no room for dissent. I'll give you a perfect example. Remember in school. Remember? We've all been there. In order to get a good grade, you have to give the answer the teacher wants to hear, not necessarily the correct answer. You see what I mean? Maybe they'll give you partial credit because they can't dispute it or something, but you'd have to have a pretty good teacher to be able to have them agree that you might have had a good point when they did not. And teachers, unfortunately, are like doctors for the most part, where they're very arrogant, and they're just set in their ways because they've been a part of the system for so long, there's no room to wiggle in. And I think that's wrong. I think that teaching society to be obedient and not ask questions is the absolute downfall of society. Some people would say the downfall is this, the downfall is that. The downfall is the inability to question, which is the crux of everything I think that we are trying to make headway on. So people should be allowed to ask questions. Even, you know, if you disagree with them, they should still be able to do so. Anyway, this particular story from the Times goes on. A previous attempt to ban Nazi symbols was blocked by several governments, including Britain, while Holocaust denial was halted on the grounds of freedom of speech by Italy, which then had the post-fascist National Alliance in its ruling coalition. The Italian government has now changed, giving the Germans hope of an EU agreement, but there will still be extra pressure from former Soviet bloc countries for a ban on the provocative use of the communist hammer and sickle. Ms. Zypries will appeal to them at a meeting to build a European criminal code on racism and xenophobia. She said, quote, "We have always said it cannot be the case that it should still be acceptable in Europe to say that 6 million Jews were never killed. There is some controversy about that under the freedom of expression, but we believe that there are limits to freedom of expression, and the limits are there when it is offensive to other religious and ethnic groups," end quote. Do you understand what that means? You only have freedom of expression when what you say is not offensive to someone else. That is an outrage, folks. An absolute outrage. Because everything that you say is offensive to somebody. Don't you agree? I could be just telling you anything about just myself. I could say, you know, today I have shoes on that have a blue stripe. And you're like, blue stripes? You know what that means? And I'd say, no. And they'd say, well, you know, when I was a young person, I was kicked where the sun don't shine with a guy having blue striped shoes. You're offensive to me. And you should be brought up on charges. You should be criminalized. You should be thrown in jail for 3 years because you said something that was offensive to someone. This is a horrible, horrible thing, and we have to understand this, folks, because just like arguing against health stuff, oh, you hate the children. Here they'll say, oh, you're an anti-Semite.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. It's Saturday morning. Got a good hour and 35 minutes left in the show. Plenty of time to dive into some news, and that's what we're doing as we speak. So back to the story again, which came out in the Times over in the UK. And January 15th again. Hey, Thomas, anytime you want to pot that music down, man, that'd be great. Thank you. He fell asleep. Am I that boring? That's it. You're fired. All right. So anyway, the story goes on to talk about that. But again, there's freedom of expression, but there are limits to freedom of expression. The limits are when it's offensive to other religious and ethnic groups. So that's anything, folks, honestly, right? I mean, according to President Bush, he says that the terrorists hate us because of our freedoms. So our freedoms might be freedom to, of course, go and be stupid. Maybe it's the freedom to go and buy, you know, pornographic film, which is highly offensive to, you know, it's offensive to a lot of people. But certainly wouldn't it be offensive to, like, Islam and stuff like that? I mean, they got their women covered head to toe. So, yeah, I would say so. Which means what? That's, you know, go to jail in the EU for anything that's deemed to be offensive. Now, if they push, they're going to be pushing on this. Now, of course, they'll use, again, Nazi symbology to make this thing so. But, again, once you open that door just a crack, it's very easy to swing open all the way. And that's what I'm concerned about. It doesn't matter to me. If somebody wants to go and spray paint a swastika on themselves or whatever, I'll just think they're an idiot. But, you know, I don't think that we should be criminalizing people's right to be morons. But again, this is what they're saying. Anyway, it goes on. Laws banning the denial of the Holocaust already exist in 10 of the 27 EU states, and Latvia and Estonia ban the display of communist symbols. The move would need the unanimous support of every country to have legal force. Britain maintains that its laws banning incitement to hatred provide sufficient cover. The revisionist historian David Irving escaped prosecution until he claimed his proclaimed his skepticism in Austria and was jailed for 13 months. He was initially sentenced to 10 years. They cut it down because there was a pretty big public outcry about that, but nevertheless, he still was in jail for at least a brief period of time. A British government spokeswoman said that a specific offense of Holocaust denial would, quote, sit uncomfortably with existing freedom of speech legislation, end quote, but did not dismiss the German plan. So there you have it. They're still pondering it. They're mulling it over. Now, here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. And maybe if you have spent some time studying symbols, and maybe you've spent some time studying ancient architecture, okay, things like the pyramids down in Central America and South America, then maybe you've seen some bizarre things such as swastikas. That's true. They've been around a lot longer than old Adolf. This story came from, I found it at CNN.com. It came out on the 17th of January. It says, Hindus in Europe are joining forces to oppose German calls for a law across the European Union banning the display of Nazi symbols, saying the swastika symbolizes peace and not hate. Hindus in Britain, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, and Italy plan to visit each EU member state, European Commission leaders, and members of the European Parliament to garner support for a pressure group intended to resist the German move. Germany plans to use its presidency of the EU to launch an initiative which could lead to common laws across the bloc, making it a crime to deny genocide and display Nazi symbology, said Ramesh Kalade of the Hindu Forum in Britain. He said, quote, the swastika has been around for 5,000 years as a symbol of peace. This is exactly the opposite of how it was used by Hitler. It's almost like saying that the KKK used burning crosses to terrorize black men, so therefore let us ban the cross. How does that sound to you? End quote. Well, he's got a good point there, I think. The swastika, the symbol of Hitler's Nazi party, is banned in Germany, which assumed the EU's six-month rotating presidency on January 1st. In Hindu tradition, it is one of the religion's most sacred symbols of peace. I think that's very, very interesting. Now, keep in mind, under the laws that ban the use of swastikas and display of swastikas in Germany, there was a man who was recently prosecuted because he had a website that was selling anti-Nazi paraphernalia. For example, let's say a shirt that had a swastika, but then had the red circle and the red line through it. They prosecuted him because he was displaying Nazi imagery. And, I mean, that's how serious they take that stuff. Anyway, Germany alarmed by a rise in far-right crime. Now, remember, far-right in this country means Republican. Far-right, you know, in Germany means Nazi. You can make the connection or the disparity for yourself. Germany, it says, wants to harmonize the rules for punishing offenders in member states, said Germany's justice ministry, laying out its plans earlier this month. Quote, in Germany, the fight against racism and xenophobia is both a historic duty and a current political concern, end quote. Kalade said Germany's initiative was probably well-intentioned, but there had been no consultations. He said, quote, every time we see a swastika symbol in a Jewish cemetery, that, of course, must be condemned. But when the symbol is used in a Hindu wedding, people should learn to respect that. In Sanskrit, it means may goodness prevail. Just because Hitler misused the symbol, abused it, and used it to propagate a reign of terror and racism and discrimination, it does not mean that its peaceful use should be banned, end quote. Free speech. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. This hour, keep in mind, being brought to you by the Survival Center, your one-stop shop for all things regarding preparedness. The Survival Center has anything you could possibly want or need to prepare yourself for anything in the entire universe. Yeah. their information is just that thorough. It's really astounding. I would urge you to call them. And you can do so toll-free at 800-321-2900. That's 800-321-2900. Request a copy of their catalog. You can order their book, Basic Preparedness, which has just newly been updated. You can also visit the website, survivalcenter.com, and get a feel for all the jazz that they got there. It's really just incredible. Really. I mean, volumes and volumes of things that you, I guarantee, at least something you've never even considered needing. All right. So anyway, we talked about banning Nazi symbols. We talked about banning Holocaust denial and things like that. This is interesting. This one came out in the Examiner, which is out of San Francisco. It came out on the 9th of this month. It says, in a bizarre attack, a well-known author and Holocaust scholar was dragged out of a San Francisco hotel elevator by an apparent Holocaust denier who reportedly had been trailing him for weeks. His name, Elie Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor and author of more than 40 books, including the memoir Night, about his experiences at Auschwitz, won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1986. According to police, the suspect accosted Wiesel in the hotel elevator around 6:30 p.m., saying he wanted to interview him. Wiesel said he would do the interview in the lobby. That's when the attacker pulled him out of the elevator, said police. In a posting Tuesday on the anti-Zionist website Zionpedia, a writer using the name Eric Hunt takes credit for the attack, saying this, quote, after ensuring no women would be traumatized by what I had to do, I had been trailing Wiesel for weeks. I stopped the elevator at the sixth floor. I pulled him out of the elevator. I said I wanted to interview him, end quote. Wiesel apparently grabbed his chest, yelled for help, according to the posting. This individual, Eric Hunt, is the name he used, said, quote, I told him, why don't you want people to know the truth? His expression changed, and he began screaming again, end quote. The posting reads as such. Police reported that the suspect tried to force Wiesel into one of the rooms but ran away when Wiesel started yelling. The online posting states that the writer intended to, quote, bring Wiesel to my hotel room where he would truthfully answer my questions regarding the facts, and his nonfiction Holocaust memoir, Night, is almost entirely fictitious, end quote. Later in the posting, the Holocaust is portrayed as a, quote, unquote, myth. Very interesting. So now, expressing your free speech, right? Stating your opinions, that might be a crime, but this certainly is. So now, you know, of course, this could be, you know, Elie Wiesel is pretty well known, I would say, wouldn't you? I mean, everybody's more or less heard of him and perhaps read his books and whatnot. But again, let's discuss this here, because this guy is kind of like, you know, he's one of the heavy hitters, I guess, the guy with firsthand experience in the Holocaust. And here you've got a situation where a Holocaust denier, okay, something they want to make, they want to criminalize just for saying, just for thinking. This is a Holocaust denier physically attacking him. So now they've got grounds, perhaps, to push this thing a little further, saying, hey, look, Holocaust deniers are not simply just disagreeing. They're violent and rabid and crazed. It's very interesting. Now, again, now is this all a ruse? I don't know. It's certainly possible. But anyway, because some guy just posts this on a website using the name Eric Hunt, which I'd wager is not his real name. But the point is, he's like, yeah, I did it. I hope no women were traumatized. I don't even understand why that's in there. But anyway, this is the best part of the story, though. Police haven't officially identified a suspect, but a source close to the investigation said Eric Hunt is the focus of their probe. Ooh. that's some top-notch police work. They're looking for a guy who posted a posting on a website saying he perpetrated this attack and then left a name. And the police won't say, you know, what's going on here, but according to a source close to the investigation, presumably on the condition of anonymity, he reveals that the focus of the investigation is on the guy who admitted to doing it. Ooh, what a surprise. Do they really need to get top secret sources for that kind of information? Apparently so. Anyway, it is what it is, folks. But here's why I brought all this up. Because of this. Just a little editorial, an opinion piece, op-ed, some would call it, in the Boston Globe. And it came out Friday. So technically earlier today, technically yesterday, I suppose, written by one Ellen Goodman. And the whole thing is about global warming. It's in the Boston Globe, and I would encourage you to read it. The headline says, no change in political climate. Of highest interest to me is the fourth and fifth paragraphs, which I will read, and nothing else about the story, which is mostly whining and complaining about how Republicans deny the Holocaust. Republicans deny global warming is a reality because they feel that they have no control over it, so therefore they should ignore it because they can't affect it. And Democrats are very much on board with global warming and the dangers, okay? So that's what the whole story winds about. But here's where it gets interesting. It says, by every measure, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change raises the level of alarm. The fact of global warming is, quote-unquote, unequivocal. End quote. The certainty of the human role is now somewhere over 90%, which is about as certain as scientists ever get. Now, again, how can scientists be certain of something? Whoever they task to study something like this, they're tasked with finding information that was available, or I should say, they're finding information that is relevant to prior before they were a thought in their daddy's head. Okay, way, way, way before they're born. In fact, some would say way before records were kept. In fact, some would say way before human beings walked the planet. So they're trying to gather information that can't be gathered. Okay, then they're trying to forecast something that can't be forecast. And we're supposed to say, yeah, they're 90% certain. What if they're not? Huh? What if they're wrong? Is there any accountability for this? If a scientist says, I'm 90% sure, and you can't refute it because they can't prove it, then what different, how much stock should you put in an opinion? Even if it's a 90% certain opinion, it's still an opinion. But anyway, that's just whoever Ellen Goodman is, that's kind of what she's going on. Anyway, here's where it gets interesting. She says, quote, I would like to say we're at a point where global warming is impossible to deny. Let's just say that global warming deniers are now on par with Holocaust deniers. The one denies the past and the other denies the present and future. Did you understand that? Global warming deniers are on par with Holocaust deniers. And Holocaust deniers now are violent, crazy people. See, and again, you know, there was that panel exploring the Holocaust. Was it a myth or was it a reality as far as, you know, science and historians and whatnot. And there was the big thing going on in Iran. And, of course, the big Holocaust denier is who? The most demonized person in the United States, for no apparent reason, the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Now, I say for no reason because he specifically has not done anything to this country except talk tough. But that's it, really. He hasn't done anything. He shouldn't be the focus and the priority, you know, higher on the list than Osama bin Laden, but he is. So, you know, there's your Holocaust denier. There's the company you keep, the most hated man in American foreign policy, the president of Iran. And now this gal is saying to deny the Holocaust, to deny that 6 million Jews were killed, and I think that the number that we've been told is 10 million total, meaning 6 million Jews and 4 million non-Jews. Still a lot of people, right? But the whole point is, if you deny that those are the totals, then you're a Holocaust denier. And if you're a Holocaust denier, you're a criminal. And if you're a criminal, you're violent and you're crazy and you should be in jail for at least 3 years, possibly 5, possibly 10, depending on the country we're talking about. And now, if you disagree with global warming, disagree. Again, opinion. My opinion differs from the scientist's opinion. So I guess I'm a global warming denier. I'm not denying that it's happening, though. I just deny the reason that they're... I'm denying the thing they're 90% certain of, which is that human beings are causing it. I don't think that, you know, expulsion of bodily gases is causing the whole temperature of the planet to warm up. And again, tell the people in New York who are getting 100 inches of snow this weekend, tell them that global warming's a reality. See what they think. The people in, what is it, Hamburg, I think it was, in New York, they got like 6 feet of snow, 7 feet, 8 feet, whatever it was, all over Western New York. Tell them global warming's real. See what they think. I guarantee you they don't care at this point. Because, again, global warming, what does that lead to? Right? Another ice age. By historical standards, I mean, you really look at the planet, yeah, everything heats up and then everything gets cold. So you're trying to tell me that I should be concerned about this. Why? You know, it's just one of those things. And again, it's a natural process that the Earth tends to go through. Anybody will tell you that. But they want to blame us because they want more control. They want more laws. They want more legislation. They want more control. That's what it's all about, folks. Control, control, control. They want to control what you think, what you say, what you do, how you feel, what you wear, anything and everything. So now, Holocaust denial is the same as global warming denial. So expect that to potentially be criminalized. And because they're going to potentially criminalize that, let's talk about it now before they pass some laws. This one came out on the 8th of February from the AFP. An Arctic doomsday vault aimed at providing mankind with food in case of a global catastrophe will be designed to sustain the effects of climate change, the project's builders said as they unveiled the architectural plans. The top security repository carved into the permafrost of a mountain in the remote Svalbard archipelago near the North Pole will preserve some 3 million batches of seeds from all known varieties of the planet's crops. The hope is that the vault will make it possible to reestablish crops obliterated by major disasters, said Magnus Beredelli Tveiten, project manager at Norway's Directorate of Public Construction and Property, to the AFP. He said, quote, "We have taken into consideration the outside temperature rising and have located the facility so far inside the rock that it will be in the permafrost and will not be affected by outside temperature," end quote. Construction of the seed bank, also dubbed the Noah's Ark of Food, will begin this March. The vault is situated about 426 feet above current sea level. It would not flood if Greenland's ice sheets melt, which some estimate would increase sea levels by 23 feet. It is also expected to be safe from the ices of Antarctica completely melting, which experts say could increase sea levels by 200 feet. Well, that's great. How do people get to it? And if sea levels increase by 200 feet, where are you going to plant those seeds, right? Just a thought. This is from Reuters, Thursday, January 25th. A forthcoming UN report on climate change will provide the most credible evidence yet of a human link to global warming and hopefully shock the world into taking more action, said the chairman of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change on Thursday. Shock the world. You want to know what the shocking information is? We've already covered it. Human beings cause global warming. 90% sure. Okay. Take a look at some long-term science, and I think you'll find that global warming was happening long before people were driving cars and, you know, pumping gas and, you know, running a lawnmower and all that type of nonsense. But it's noteworthy to see sort of where the whole thing is at. This is from the AFP, January 30th. Billions of people will suffer water shortages, and the number of hungry will grow by hundreds of millions by 2080 as global temperatures rise, scientists warn in a new report. The report estimates that between 1.1 billion and 3.2 billion people will be suffering from water scarcity problems by 2080, and between 200 million and 600 million more people will be going hungry. The assessment is contained in a draft of a major international report by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, to be released later this year, said Australia's The Age newspaper. Rising sea levels could flood 7 million more homes, while Australia's famed Great Barrier Reef, treasured as the world's largest living organism, could be dead within decades, scientists warn. The Age newspaper said it had obtained a copy of the report, believed to be one of the three prepared for release by the IPCC, which is highly regarded for its neutrality and caution. That's BS. They are not highly regarded for their neutrality and caution. They're highly regarded as politically oriented, politically motivated, and politically influenced. And what's the big political issue? Well, hey, talk about the end of the world. Talk about the planet, okay, dying. Why? Because it's more important to people, perhaps, to think about, you know, parks not being around, trees not being around, food not being around, as well it should be, than it is for people to care about Iran and the forthcoming war there. What I'm telling you here is this. If people are worried about the environment, they're not going to pay too much attention to everything else. People express concern to a comparable degree to how it affects them personally. Now, if you know, if you're out there and let's say you're a farmer, right? And let's say that you are have been trying to farm and raise crops and raise livestock in a drought-ridden state here in the United States. You know, you're horrified by this. And somebody says, "Man, we're about to invade Iran. Don't you care?" And you're like, "No, I don't care. I can't feed my family. I haven't made any money. My cows are dying. My sheep are dying. Whatever. Pigs. All dead. Because there's no water. Because it's too damn hot. Because there's been no clouds and no rain. And I don't care about Iran. I care about my cows." But you tell that guy that global warming's real, and he's going to say, "Absolutely, it's real. I can testify to that. It's ruined my life already. And it's just going to get worse." And what's he going to say? Yeah, he's going to definitely care more about that than a war. So this is something that affects everyone, so as a result, everyone is supposed to care about it. And I'm not saying I don't care about it. Well, the point I'm trying to make is global warming real? Sure. Absolutely. Is it going to be the point where the Earth becomes this waterless or flooded out place where nothing grows and people have to struggle to live? Maybe for a time. But us being taxed on the emissions of our vehicles is not going to fix the problem because, again, it's a natural process. So, again, I'm not saying that it's not real at all. I guess I'm not a global warming denier. I'm a global warming cause denier, I guess you could say, if you want to be specific about it. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. Tail end of our third hour already, folks. Can't believe how fast it's going by. And we are talking about this story, January 30th, the AFP, about climate change. It says, The human and economic costs of climate change are likely to be the highest in poor countries, with water shortages crippling many African nations and increased coastal flooding hitting low-lying countries such as Bangladesh and many Pacific Islands, the report says. Much like you'd expect. People who have less money are able to contend with this on a, to a much lesser degree are going to be great, you know, more impacted, I suppose, by this. Common sense, right? This story came out the same day also from the AFP, and here's what this one says. Earth's surface temperature could rise by 8.1 degrees Fahrenheit if carbon dioxide levels double over pre-industrial levels, but higher warming cannot be ruled out, according to a draft report under debate by the UN's top climate experts. The draft being discussed line by line at the four-day meeting of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change grimly states that the evidence for man-made influence in the climate system is now stronger than ever. And carbon dioxide pollution spewed out this century will stoke global warming and sea level rise, quote, for more than a millennium, end quote, given the time it takes for fossil fuel pollution to degrade. Among other things, the document declares, quote, it's very likely, end quote, that heat waves and pounding rain will become more frequent, snow cover projected to contract, and typhoons and hurricanes will become less frequent but more powerful. Snow cover will contract. So tell that to the people up there in New York and all the other places just getting smacked right now, that don't worry, the snow will contract over time as the planet warms up, and they'll say, yeah, we call it spring. Story goes on. Before the Industrial Revolution, levels of CO2, the principal greenhouse gas, stood at around 280 parts per million. Today, CO2 concentrations are around 380 parts per million, are rising between 2 and 3 parts per million per year. Wow. That many, huh? Yeah, what's happening is big energy-gobbling countries such as China and India pursue their economic rise. According to the draft, a copy of which was obtained by the AFP Tuesday, the temperature has already risen by 1.33 degrees Fahrenheit over the last century. Did you hear that? In the last 100 years, the temperature has gone up a whopping 1.3 degrees. It considers it very likely, a probability more than 90%, the rise in the mid-1900s was caused by man-made greenhouse gases. In its latest report in 2001, the IPCC said the probability was likely, or 66% or less. So now it's very likely. It used to be likely. Okay? It says 11 of the last 12 years rank around the, among the warmest years for which there are reliable records. The average temperature of the global ocean has increased to depths of at least 10,500 feet, showing it is absorbing the heat in, from the atmosphere. I disagree with that. I think that indicates that underwater volcanoes are actually warming up the seas. But it says warming the seas has caused them to expand, which accounts for 60 to 70% of the per 0.07 inches per year rise in global sea levels between 1961 and 2003. So 0.07 of an inch, that's how much the sea level has increased in the last 46 years or something. The rest of the rise is accounted for by the shrinkage of ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica. These are among the forecast effects for this century. And this is where it gets interesting. Snow cover will continue to shrink and the depth of thaw will accelerate over most regions with permafrost. Sea levels will rise between 11 and 17 inches, depending on the CO2 level. Sea ice cover will shrink in both the North and South Poles. Some projections say summer sea ice in the Arctic will disappear entirely by 2100. Oh, no! In 93 years, that'll be the case. Hot extremes, heavy precipitation will become more frequent. Tropical cyclones will be less numerous and more intense. The Gulf Stream will slow. And Western Europe might be plunged into a regional ice age, unless the greenhouse effect counters it. So unless they have global warming, they're going to be frozen. Stay with us. We're right back in about a minute.